Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, we hit 113 officially yesterday. It was the fourth. It's been 4 years is what I'm trying to say since we were that warm or hot, certainly, in Tucson. But I think the worst is over, at least for the time being.
So this yesterday could end up being the hottest day for 2025, fingers crossed.
I would think so, but you never know. We can get some of those extreme heat advisories as we plow through the summer here in southern Arizona.
Well, at least we didn't get to the projected or possible 114.
The possible 114. Today is the summer solstice, by the way. Longest day of the year. That comes up at about, I think, 10 o'clock something here tonight. So after that, I guess we turn we start our way toward autumn. It is June 20th, 2025. Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media family here at our broadcast center in central Tucson, 5 radio stations under one roof. We're very proud of all 5 of them. This one is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We've got our worldwide live listening, which means you can listen to our radio program anywhere in the world, of course, on your computer. And our podcast, thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, usually are up by about, I don't know, 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've got them all archived all the way back to January of 2011 when we launched this venture, when we do our telephone interviews, and we will be relying on the live line for the first half hour today for our newsmaker interview, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Friday, we like to do a couple of media shout-outs. These are people who have shown a lot of support to us through the years. One of them I can thank personally, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita's son, Dan Shear, has been just such a great partner, not only when I was on television for 22 years on Channel 6, but for my 14 and a half years on the radio. He's one of the best, not only in the print field, but he is so at home on this side of the table anchoring my program. Thanks, Dan, for all you have done over the years. Our other media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, Jim Ninsel, and the team over there, they're doing a great job. Tucson Spotlight, one of the newer online services, Caitlin Schmidt, former award-winning Arizona Daily Star reporter, has that operation going. And Dan, real quickly, Caitlin's incorporated a lot of interns working on the Spotlight, and they're doing some good work.
Yes, and that's really how a lot of people are making it work today with grants and internships, and we need some outside help to get it done.
We do.
She's doing a good job.
Our Friday Focus interview will be on the live line, and it is State Representative Nancy Gutierrez. Nancy, Democrat representing a good part of the Tucson area here. She's the assistant minority leader in the Arizona House of Representatives. We had hoped she could be with us in studio, but she just could not get away from the Capitol. It just seems to go on and on, Nancy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Bill. I wish I was there with you as well, but instead I am in Phoenix, and it was 117 here yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I even took a picture of it in my car when I finally got home at 6 p.m.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yes.
So where are we, for folks that are not following this, where are we in an effort to hammer out a new spending plan for 12 months for the state of Arizona? Because quite honestly, in about 10 days, as you well know, Nancy, the spigot runs dry on state funds.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is really, truly our only job as the state legislature. And we have the deal. We've had it for a week. And instead of being responsible lawmakers, the Arizona State House Republicans have decided to play games. And they just left abruptly last night, not waiting for the Senate to finish the budget vote. Yep, I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. And so they did not even first read the budget bills yesterday. They are not first reading them today, I'm told. And we should have had this done today. Mm. It's done. It's baked. It's agreed to with the Senate and with the governor and with the House Democrats. We have been at the table with all of those entities, and the House Republicans are playing a game with Arizona, with the people of Arizona.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Really, though, shouldn't we have had this done 2 months ago?
I don't know about that. I mean, there was more work to be done. There were bills to get through the session, and the bill that the Republicans talk about doing 2 months ago would have been a skinny budget, they call it, without funding K-12 education, with cuts to human services like access and DDD. There wouldn't have been the higher education wins that we got. So, we pass a budget in June often, and I don't think that's a problem. But this, what they're doing right now, I mean, they passed a sham budget last Friday in the House that had cuts to Medicare. It had cuts to higher education. It didn't fully fund K-12 education. It would have reversed Prop 308 that gave in-state tuition to DACA students. You know, it was just ridiculous. And now they're also not willing to come to the table and do their job with the real budget.
So this is a $17 billion budget. And if you look at the
Correct.
Difference between the House and Senate, they're both pretty close to that number, correct?
The spending is close, but not what they spend the money on.
Right.
Correct.
So what is what's the major hang up?
It's really a lack of leadership from the House Republicans. I mean, I have to say, honestly, because the Senate voted this out. So it's literally just the House Republicans have not been at the table. The speaker has totally abdicated himself from the budget proceedings. He doesn't know what's in the budget. I was told today that they were meeting for 2 hours and JLBC was walking to meet them. So that means they were just being briefed on this budget today. That should have happened last week.
I want to go back to your mention of Proposition 308, which was would have guaranteed in-state tuition and other access to state-funded financial aid for every student, mm-hmm. regardless of immigration status. Did the Republicans, did it occur to them that the voters actually approved that a couple years ago? And so they're trying to unwind what the voters
did.
Yeah.
They would have. But, I mean, that's ridiculous. And even more ridiculous was the Senate had been very clear that the budget with that in it was not going to be heard in the Senate. They were not going to play those kind of games. So it was political theater. And remember, we just had Mr. Gress and Mr. Livingston do this kind of political theater in the DDD fight that we eventually won in, I don't remember if it was March or April. I can't keep my days straight anymore. But it was the same kind of thing. They did their own thing, got up and did all of their speeches. And then Julie Willoughby and I actually met with caucuses, got a deal done with the governor and passed it. So I'm not sure why they didn't learn their lesson from that, but they clearly have not learned their lesson.
We just had a message from a listener asking about a gang prevention program that's very controversial. Apparently the Democrats are strongly opposed to it.
Well, that language has been in the budget language since 2003. So it is language that is problematic 100%. However, Governor Hobbs and Director Glover have said that they are not, they use money for gangs and anti-gang. They do not use any of that money for immigration or paying back ICE. So that has been made an issue. However, that has literally been in the budget every single year, that language, since 2003. And I know lots of people that have voted yes on budgets, and that language has been in it.
So where are we going with this? If the Republicans walked out, are they gone for the weekend? Or are they coming back?
Yes.
They're gone for the weekend. Okay.
They're gone. It seems they're gone for the weekend. Some of them were reaching out to me and Leader De Los Santos last night, mm-hmm. and we were brainstorming and kind of telling them, well, you know, if you have this many members, we can roll the speaker and get this done tomorrow. And, you know, we will have our members there. We're ready to go. And they did not choose to do that. So they're just extending this process. Mr. Gress is going to Italy this weekend to get married. So he will not be in attendance on next week.
Oh, boy.
It's a mess. It is a mess.
Before we take the first break, quickly go over the difference here. Medicaid cuts, taxes, and infrastructure. Can you summarize those three for us?
Medicaid, yes. We have in this real budget, we have fully funded access with no harmful reforms. Okay. The DDD is fully funded. We have money for area agencies on aging, DES. Let's see, legal aid. What was the next one?
Medicaid. Taxes.
There's no major tax things. A couple of the Republican senators have very minimal tax credits in here, but nothing that's going to cost the state.
And then infrastructure widening I-10, is that a part of the package?
Yes, Republicans always care about roads more than access and K-12 education. So they do have some of the programs, some of the widening that there are specific members in the Senate who did vote yes on the budget, got in the budget.
State Representative Nancy Gutierrez. Stick around, Nancy. We've got you scheduled here for another segment. Let's take a break. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. And by the way, coming up at about 12:30, we have the mayor of Sahuarita, Tom Murphy, on these developments with the Regional Transportation Authority and the new leadership of RTA as they try to get over the goal line of an RTA Next program. We'll take the break. Dan Scheer sticks around as well. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a very warm, well, I'm going to still say it. If it's under 110, it's a warm, very warm afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Dan Scheer is here. Dan's the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. He's the editorial director for, is it three dozen now newspapers?
Pretty close.
Okay, in 13 states owned by Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. You have the Flagstaff paper, right?
We do.
Is that doing pretty well,
that
though?
That is doing well.
It's been around forever.
And they do great online. They have huge online following.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue in seg two with our conversation with State Representative Nancy Gutierrez from a Democrat representing Tucson, the Assistant Minority Leader in the Arizona House of Representatives. Dan, it's all yours.
Representative Gutierrez, so the Senate is gone. They have sine died, and they're not coming back.
Well, that's what they said. But technically, they are in recess because for them to sine die, they would appoint a committee and bring that over to the House, and we would approve it. And we send a committee over to them, and they approve our signee die. So I appreciate the display, but technically they are on recess. But I do think it is their intention not to return, because they do not want the House Republicans making any amendments to the agreed upon budget.
So you have a June 30th deadline, and what happens if you don't meet it?
Well, then we start talking about government shutdown, because the end of the fiscal year is the end of our budget and the state would not be funded. We are ready, willing, and able. We had our caucus. We told them stay close to the Phoenix area and close to the Capitol today, because we may, get this done today or Saturday or Sunday. And it looks like now we are not coming back until Monday. But truly, with no amendments to make, all we have to do is vote on the budget. There is a three-day rule that can be waived with 40 people saying, yes, let's waive the rules. I don't know if they are organized enough to do that.
Dan, I know you wanted to pick up a little bit on education as well.
Yeah, you mentioned K-12 education, and historically, we have not done a good job of funding this in Arizona. And are we any better off in the budget that you want passed?
Well, I mean, are we where I would want to be? No, frankly. I think that the $1 billion voucher program should be ended for everyone except the special education students that it was created for. I don't think we should be giving, almost $1 billion to students who can clearly pay for their private tuition themselves. And I don't think it should go for, $12,000 cellos. But in the world where we're at, which is no Republican member is going to vote to do that, we fully funded the opportunity weight and additional assistance for districts that absolutely would have been a cut if we hadn't gotten them done. We got $3.8 million to supplement school meals for students. We got full building grants renewal. And I'm so excited to share this with you. We got the aggregate expenditure limit waived for 2 years. That's never happened. And next year, it will be an election year. So I am shocked that the Republicans let that through. And what that is allowing school districts to spend the money that we have allocated them. If we don't pass that limit, then in March, all of the school districts are left wondering, well, will we get to spend our whole budget, or are they going to hold it back? So that was a huge win that will really help our public schools.
How about higher education? Any cuts there?
Yeah. No cuts. And I'm so thrilled to tell you that we have a record-breaking amount going to the Promise Program, which is a full-ride scholarship. It's $34 million. $9 million extra above the base going to the Arizona Teachers Academy. And for the first time ever, we put $3 million into a community college promise program, which will allow community college students to get a full ride scholarship. So, and more, but those are record breaking investments in our colleges and community colleges. Oh, we also passed, we will pass, speed bonds. So that's the authority for universities to bond, and that'll be a $24 million ongoing spending for our universities.
There was one other thing that I wanted to bring up with you about law enforcement. DPS
yes.
has been saying that they really cannot cover this state right now. And areas like Phoenix and Tucson, Phoenix is getting some 24/7 coverage. Tucson, sometimes. I mean, are they getting right. anything in the budget?
The money that they're getting is all for fentanyl interdiction. There are $0 for interior border enforcement deportations or ICE in this budget. We thought that was a real win.
We go to a lot of towns.
Go ahead. We also got 15% pay increases for firefighters, which I'm really excited about.
We go to a lot of town and city council meetings, and often it's mentioned that the state is pushing more of the financial burden their way. Is there anything in this budget that is going to put cities on the ropes?
That's a great question. I mean, I don't know that cities and towns will be thrilled, but we tried to keep our cities whole and our counties whole. I absolutely understand where they're coming from. It's just a tough, I mean, with our flat tax of 2.5%, our revenues are very, very down. Between that and $1 billion in vouchers, we don't have enough revenue, frankly.
With the voucher, did the voucher program get more support this year financially, or is that now leveled off, Nancy Gutierrez?
No, it increases every year, and they have not put a cap on it. We fought for a cap, an income cap, the amount cap on how many people are using vouchers, and the Republicans absolutely refuse to put any kind of cap. Every year they get more money.
Nancy, from a personal point of view, you'd been with Tucson Unified in the district at Tucson High for years. You decided to voluntarily step aside so other teachers wouldn't have to be cut. What is your own personal situation? Yeah. I'm just curious.
I mean, I can pretty much talk about this without crying at this point. I cleaned my classroom out, and it was traumatic for me. Even though I know it's the right thing, I did not want another PE teacher to be cut for me to be able to keep my job there. But it's very sad, and it's sad that our public schools are having to cut art programs and teachers and PE teachers because of lower enrollment. And there are a lot of reasons for the lower enrollment. But, you know, we do not give our public schools enough funding to, not have to have high numbers in classes like that. And we don't have the kids. So it's very, very sad.
All right, Nancy, we're going to wrap it up with you, and I want to wish you the very best. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you.
And I hope there's some kind of a resolution to this before the Monday deadline. We're talking about June 30th, which is a Monday, so that's a week from Monday. So we're about 10 days away from this. Otherwise, the state of Arizona runs out of money. Nancy, thanks for giving us the update.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. State Representative.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. State Representative Nancy Gutierrez on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate from and Property Management, on the live line from the state capitol, where there is this impasse at this point. As Nancy said, they're going to stick around for the weekend and see if the House Republicans return. We'll see. Anyway, coming up next, the mayor of Sahuarita. There's a lot to talk about there with the RTA. Dan Shear sticks around for segment number three. Take a break here. Be right back on Buckmaster on a Friday.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a very jam-packed hour, a lot of news going on. We had the very latest from the state capitol, from Nancy Gutierrez, where there is an impasse, and the state will run out of money here in about 10 days. Dan Shear is with me from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Dan is the editorial director for about three dozen newspapers that are owned by the Sierra Vista media company, WIC Communications. So Dan sticks around for segment number three, and now joining us in studio is the mayor of Sahuarita, Tom Murphy. Hey, Mayor Murphy, thanks for coming in.
No, it's I'm pleased to be here as always, and I call Dan and I the B team, so now
well,
I feel
you're
like
the A team now.
I feel like we've been called up to the big leagues.
You're in the big leagues,
and I'm
now
the last guest of the week, so yeah. I'm just going to pretend I'm the cleanup.
There you go. Before we get into the Regional Transportation Authority, Representative Gutierrez said that cities are going to take a hit this time around. There's no question about it. There will not be the kind of money that you've had in the past. I wonder if that's going to affect you and your leadership team.
Yes, well, we certainly are in a good position, I would say. We'll be Monday night, we'll have our public hearing for our budget for the year. We're fortunate because we've been fiscally conservative for a long time. We do have reserves. We actually have a recession plan that can kick in depending on, you know, the economy or sweeps and things. I pay attention and have been watching, you know, being part of the executive committee of the League of Arizona Cities and Towns. So I really just more take a wait and see because I don't want to panic on something that may not come or thinking I'm worried about one thing and then it comes from something else.
But services will continue
absolutely.
The way you've planned
absolutely
for your new spending plan.
Yes, and you know, we have done some things back to, you know, to a little bit to infrastructure with our roads. We always have been supplementing that at the tune of about $500,000 on top of HERF because it's been so many years since they adjusted the gas tax. But that was creeping up. We were going to have to be supplementing it to $750,000 and potentially $1 million because we really are committed to keeping our roads in good condition. So we're always having those conversations, whether it's affected by the legislature or by inflation. You know, it all impacts those costs, but we're very vigilant, I would say, in watching and staying out ahead of it.
There will be new leadership on the Regional Transportation Authority as they work to get a new 20-year plan. The current plan, of course, expires next year, so the clock is running. Just like it's running at the state legislature, it's certainly running for RTA. You being the mayor of one of the regional cities and towns, there's a 9-member RTA board, and you and your colleagues unanimously said yes to the former city manager, Mike Ortega.
Yes, yeah, no, I've known Mike a number of years, and more importantly, I've had nice feedback from my town manager, Shane Dilley, on the good working relationship. I believe Mike's been a great public servant, not only to Cochise County, but to Pima. And I think having him knowing some of the thoughts and personalities coming from the city, I think, we were blessed to have 3 people interview, and they all did a great job. But I think because of these various circumstances, everybody, as you saw by the vote, coalesced because, you know, we only have a couple of months. And, you know, my goal for Mike really was, one, to help him, have him help us hire the permanent, really put together a closure plan for our, you know, RTA 1, I call it. And then also hopefully, you know, put something together about RTA next, because, you know, I've always said many, many times, you know, it's not about my plan or any other municipal plan. It has to be approvable by the voters. And that's really the key.
It has to be a regional plan.
It has to be a regional plan.
Sign off on. I mean, it can't be somebody's personal, if one city or agenda, one town.
Right. Yeah.
Let's bring in Dan Scheer. Dan?
Farhad Mogimi, and we cannot overlook this, Farhad Mogimi was dumped out of that role. I know you were frustrated by that decision. So here we have now a public who you're going to ask in a few months to trust you with 20 more years of spending their money. And right now, you've just dumped the leader, and the program itself had been criticized. How are you going to do this?
Yeah, well, not easily, I would say.
No kidding.
You know, and not only that, you know, because of disagreements, our attorney quit.
Right.
So, you know, we had that. So we were without an attorney and without an executive director.
And you dumped the executive director without having an attorney, which could bite you.
Well, actually, the attorney resigned.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't dump him. I was also a fan of Thomas as well.
Yeah.
So it was of his choosing, and I think he looked at it and said, well, if there's a loss of trust here, then I don't need to be here.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't dump him. But, it's not going to be easy. And, you know, part of my frustration, as you said, Dan, over the years is if you beat up a plan for, you know, last maybe 5 years or so, and then sort of come around and go kidding, you know, really we're going to, you know, put something together. But it's very important, you know, to take $110 million off the table for the next 20 years. I thought it was RTA trying to keep me from your office while all the construction out here this afternoon.
I know we should have told you that 46th Street, for whatever reason, is closed right now, and you've got to come in the back door. But anyway,
yes. So yeah. it's a very short time frame. The summer is very hard because people travel and get out of the heat.
So you're looking at September to get this, move it forward to put it on the before voters in March. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. September 16th is
there's
when
your deadline.
Is the deadline. It has to be to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Less than two months.
And, you know, to put together a closeout plan for RTA 1, which I think is paramount to show somewhat the trust of the voters. And that's why over the years I've been, connected to not wanting to not do what we promised we were going to do, why I voted against First Avenue, because, I kind of compare it to, I have a 2-bedroom house and I tell you, Bill, to build me a 3-bedroom, expand it. And then you come back and say, well, I'm charging you twice as much and you still have a 2-bedroom house. so I don't know if that goes to the when you go to a bond, an election like that, that's a contract with your voters. Mm-hmm. And I'm very reticent to not change that. Now, the next plan, building in a check-in, I agree with all those because circumstances change. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have that under the first. We said we're going to spend this amount of money to do these projects to this degree. And for the most part, we have. But
and I understand most of those projects, even the ones that have not been completed, are either on the drawing board and ready to go. I mean, in some capacity. So this could be closed out, or there could be the segue it over to the next 20-year plan.
I think there could be a good marketing communication.
Correct.
To say where we are on it. I think we have to be one honest.
Right.
Because there were circumstances, the Great Recession, the pandemic, a lot of things factored into it. But if we're going to really be honest, there were scope changes and things took longer than they should have in some cases.
But people will want to know, are the projects all going to be finished?
Yes.
That'll be
yes.
a huge selling point.
It will be.
Dan.
You and I talked on this show about the $66 million bond that failed last year in Sarita. And we talked about why it may have. And I think rising costs just in everything probably has something to do with it. And this is one thing that voters could control and just say, look, we just don't need the extra cost right now. We may like the project, the plan, but it's just extra money and everyone else is dinging us for extra money. And we don't have control over that. Do you see the same thing happening potentially with RTA next? Because I'm thinking that you're going to have a big hill to climb to get this thing passed.
Yeah, no, definitely it's a potential. And I know Chairman Scott was on, I think it was yesterday, those sensitivities, because things go up around us all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of it not in the control of the citizen. And when the citizen does have control of something, especially if the trust is lost, I think that's an important factor too. It will be a big hill to climb, but I think, to keep our infrastructure moving forward. And a lot of these big projects, I know working with, talking with Mayor Post up in Marana, when you're talking about, a couple of these big interchanges, really nobody can do those. No municipality, few can do those on their own. And if you're really going to keep up or ahead or close to ahead of growth, a lot of these projects are very important for our future. And that's why, to me, what the plan looks like is so, so important, not because it's one of our jurisdictions, hopes and things. It really has to be passable because we haven't had success both in the bond you mentioned, Dan, and in the city. We've had some failures recently, and which I wish some would remember. This is how we got to 2006. We were going it alone and we weren't having a lot of success. And it was the regional approach and the collaboration that really got us over the hump in 2006.
Mayor Murphy, there's a question here from one of our listeners. What will RTA do with the over $250 million it has in the bank after RTA expires? Can they still spend it and construct what they didn't finish after 2026?
Yes, yes. And then
it's a good question.
It is a good question. And so even if it fails, the money that we have available,
right,
the current money, will be what we can use to finish off as many of those projects as possible. And that's almost that combination of that marketing communication to say, no, there is money, because I think a lot of people probably feel like, you know, all of these projects are underfunded and don't have the available resources, right, which is not the case.
And that doesn't get out very often, that message.
No, it does not.
No, it makes it seem like RTA's broke, but that's
right,
not the case. Dan, pick it up.
You mentioned the collaboration in 2006, which got it passed, but is it too simplistic to say that right now what we're looking at is Tucson and the tribes versus the suburbs?
Good question. Well, on that particular vote, it felt that way.
Sure.
But, you know, I hope when it comes to RTA Next and the overall plan, the only chance that we have with the voters is to be unified. And that's why I thought, you know, the unanimous vote for Mr. Ortega at least is a baby step in that direction. But if we come back with a split vote on what RTA Next looks like, and there's still some...
That would be a hard...
It would be a hard sell, absolutely.
The optics on this, I think, have to be very close to a unanimous vote.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned, though, that as we look at at RTA Next, but what, in your opinion, would really need to change with the RTA from the past 20 years going into the next 20 years? What changes would you make?
And those are those administrative policies that you can put into place. So I would be open for, you know, whether it's a 10-year or a 15-year, you know, check-in, because that, to me, gives us permission from the citizens that, yes, we said we're going to do these things, but because of, you know, growth not happening, or, you know, we're all in flying cars or something, that we could modify that. The other thing I really like to see is if your municipality has a project that falls in one of the four quadrants and you're not ready, that we don't continually to roll over that money and not actually free it up to be spent on other projects that are, you know, more ready to go, because that part of it is that's where we've gotten to. We keep rolling the money because the projects, you know, in some cases haven't got started and then others are. So you really have to stay within the lane that, you know, you've been given to complete those projects. So those are just two examples, but also, you know, I think there still needs to be some modification. I think this plan needs to get the folks from point A to point B faster and easier. And that could be technology. It can be widening. I'm not a big fan of road dieting. I don't see how that gets us to move people faster.
Road what was it?
Road dieting. So if you're taking out, like in First Avenue, if you're going to run the four lanes, or if you're going to run bus rapid transit like on Stone, and then take out two lanes.
Okay.
I don't think that gets us to where we want to go.
So then basically what we're looking at between September and March is an education process.
100%.
And what's going to be the toughest hurdle when it comes to that? One, a lot of people don't even know what RTA is.
Right.
Yes. And to that point, they also don't know actually what that has funded over the years.
Right.
Because when I always use the example, if we get compliments on Salarita Road or how that looks, I have to a person, educate them. Thank you. Yes, we constructed it. But thank you again, because it was the RTA and that half cent that actually funded it. So the average resident, I believe, thinks that all of these major projects, whether it's in Marana or Oral Valley or the city, wherever it might be, yes, that's the one who carried it out, but it is not the one who funded it. And it was, so that's, to me, is going to be one of the biggest messages. And I know there's talk, if it fails, that we can all go on our own. And my worry is that, yes, there's money out there for a lot of us, probably not for the county, but we'll be doing these projects independent of each other.
Right.
You know, so, you know, not the truth, but it, you know, I don't want the railroad track. We meet in the middle and it doesn't match, right? Because I'm doing my thing and I'm not talking to somebody else.
Where's the road? Oh, it's 100 yards down.
Absolutely. So one of the benefits of getting together and having the TMC and having everybody coordinating with each other, we can actually look at it from a regional perspective and not, yes, I can get my own half cent sales tax or Marina can, but it doesn't really help from the overall picture of building a good network.
And we, Mayor Murphy, we do need to bring up the point that if this doesn't pass, that really does hurt job growth and economic development. Economic developers would come to town. Well, the Tucson, Arizona is not really open for business as a regional entity.
Right. And one of the things that when I've attended a lot of the meetings with site selectors, you know, the two things that come up are education and the infrastructure.
Right.
And if you're not ready on both of those points, probably, because we're not just competing against Phoenix or you know, Casa Grande or Queen Creek. You know, we're competing against other markets as well. So if we don't look like we have our stuff together, so to speak, I think site selectors will pass us over and they'll go to other, you know, other locations.
Okay, a town question for you about the 4th of July coming up. A lot of people are worried about with the fire danger. You will be going ahead, though, with a fireworks show.
Right. It's going to be a modified fireworks show.
Tell our listeners about it.
Yes. So what's happened last year, which didn't go really successfully, is because of the fire, the danger zones, the safety zones that we have to work with a fire department.
You went back to the drawing board.
Well, we set them off on a different location than where all the people were. Because we didn't have that safe zone, and you could see it maybe in the distance, but you didn't hear it, and that didn't go well. So this time we're going to do more. It's going to be a combination of more ground fireworks, you know, setups. So you have a little bit more control. But we're also going to be doing our drone show, which we've done a couple of years, and we're going to have pyrotechnics on the drones.
Yes.
So I'm not sure. I mean, it's the first time.
Right. Well, drone, many cities across the country are going that way with the drones.
Yes. And, you know, and then you add in, obviously, over the years, people who love animals, you know, obviously dogs have issues with fireworks, veterans with PTSD.
Yes.
But it is so traditional. It's a very hard subject to broach because all of us grew up, right?
I mean, we did.
Some of my fondest memories in Connecticut were July 4th, but liability, insurance, safety, fire, you know, all of the above. I think we do have to look outside the kind of the box.
All right. Dan, any final thoughts real quickly?
No, I just, good luck on the fireworks show.
Thank you.
I missed last year's, but this year could only be better.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah, we have a great park and rec department. You know, we try to think outside the box, but sometimes you miss.
When is the show?
July 4th.
It will be the 4th.
Yes, it
Okay. All right, Mayor Murphy, always a pleasure. Thank you very
much. Always a pleasure, and congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Very, very blessed.
Absolutely. Love to see you happy.
Thanks very much. Yes, I do have a big smile on my face these days. All right, we'll take a break right here. 101.7, The Drive, our sister station. They always do such a great job telling us what's coming up on Weekend Watch. That's next.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Boy, it's an easy sell this time of year. It's cooler over in Silver City. Look at that, 93 at midday. So it's certainly worth your while to take the three-hour drive, take the left at Lordsburg, head up the mountain, and about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation, depending on where you are, really does make a great getaway this time of year. Go to southwestnewmexico.org and start your planning to visit Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's find out what's going on this weekend. 101.7 The Drive's Leslie Lois with us. And Leslie, do you have some indoor and outdoor activities, I guess?
I do. I have both.
Let's go.
So tonight it's $5 Fridays at the Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Good.
I know. I think that's really cool to enjoy that. Just $5 to get in. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's Summer Safari Nights at the zoo. That's happening on Fridays and Saturdays, 6 to 8. The most it costs to get in is $11.25 for that. So you might want to go check that out. I think this might be kind of, this is kind of cool. You can go into a walk-in candy making workshop tomorrow.
Walk-in candy making.
Yeah, it's at Yola Botanica over at 1307 West St. Mary's Road. It's $25, and you basically get to make your own delicious or spicy candy.
How about fudge? I grew up in the Midwest like you did.
Yes.
And I remember going up to our, you know, we had rented a cottage every summer up in Wisconsin. And part of the fun was, it seems like every little town around Madison, Wisconsin had, you know, their own little fudge making operation going on. And I know my mom and I, when we'd go like looking, I have a sweet tooth, inherited it. Oh my gosh. Oh, I think I'll have the maple fudge in this town. Then the next town, they did the chocolate. But anyway, go ahead.
There's also something kind of cool going on tonight, but you need to get tickets ahead of time. It's a wicked movie evening going on at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. There's free tickets available while supplies last. This is happening at 5 o'clock tonight. And you can get tickets at the Landing Community Center. But it's, again, this is only while supplies last, but they're doing a whole theme of Wicked in that area tonight, which I think is kind of is pretty cool.
A lot of people are crazy about the Wicked thing.
Yes, I know. I haven't seen it yet. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Cool Summer Nights, of course, going on at the Desert Museum. But also, if you are a book lover, there is the Joel D. Vandez Main Library Book Swap going on. This is happening on Sunday from 10 to noon. So you can get rid of your old books that you've already read and maybe pick up some new ones.
Wow.
I think that'll be great.
That's a good idea. The book exchange.
I know. And then there's also the June community book sale going on with the Friends of Pima County Public Library. That's going on, started today at 9 o'clock, going through Sunday at the Friends of Pima County Library. It is free to attend. And by the way, Sunday books are 50% off.
Very good. So you've got lots of great tips for us. You know, I have so many friends who listen to 101.7 The Drive. They love you, Leslie. Aww. They love the work you do. And I had one friend that said to me, you know, Bill, I rarely hear the same, you know, song on The Drive. Where on some radio stations, we won't mention who they are. There's like a playlist, I don't know, maybe 100 or 2 songs that they'll go to. But I know you and Matt and the team have a huge portfolio that you can pull from.
Yeah, I know we have over 1,000 songs.
there you go.
Like in regular rotation, but right. I love that we rotate in. On a pretty regular basis, we try to change it up so you won't hear the same stuff over and over.
Very, very good. Well, that's another selling point of 101.7 The Drive, which is a terrific radio station, one of the fastest growing stations in the Tucson market. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by my German friend, Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, the entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media. All of us have the same wish for all of you. Try to stay cool. Keep hydrated. Have a great weekend.